Good to be here this morning.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Let's give God a hand. So he brought Betty here this morning. It's a blessing. I would like to talk this morning about something Matt talked about last week. Matt did a very masterful job of talking to us about the love of God. And I tapped him on the shoulder last week and I said, how about I just continue what you started and talk about how we flesh out loving people like God loves us. And I've been meditating on that and thinking about it. And in the rush of the week, boom, the week just seemed to go by and I hadn't thought about it enough, I thought. And last night, as I was sleeping, you know, God is so neat. There's so often that he speaks to us even when our bodies are resting and we're sleeping. I had titled the message, What It Takes to Love Like God Loves. What it takes to love people like God loves us. And it came to me during the night that I can't love people. We can't love people like God loves people until we understand our own condition. Now, hopefully, throughout the sermon, that will be fleshed out. What I mean by we can't love like God loves until we understand our own condition. And during the night, I often have very vivid dreams. And in my dream last night, there was one of those wretched scorpions. This thing was about that long. I was walking down a road, and here's this wretched scorpion with its tail up with a stinger on the end. And the thing was blood red, all claws and stinger, about that long. And I felt all charged up. When I need to be charged up, I take a little bit of orange juice or grape juice and put a spoonful of cayenne pepper in there and stir that baby up and drink it. And I felt all charged up. I'm going to take this scorpion. It's not telling me nothing. I'm going down this road and that thing's not going to stop me. So I grabbed that scorpion and we're wrestling and fighting and the stinger's trying to get me. You're not going to get me. And I was just into it, fighting this thing for all I was worth. And finally, the thing was broken. It looked very dead, in pieces. And then I looked at my arm, and there was a stinger. And I heard a voice saying, "You've already been stung." The sting of death. The sting of sin and death. It had already occurred. And here I was fighting. I was fighting the curse of sin and death that all of us are under. Why? Christ already won that victory over sin and death. All I have to do is open my arms and receive it. And it just came to me that if we want to love people, we've got to stop spending so much time fighting the curse of sin and death, a battle that has already been won. And I took that very, very personally because I recognize how much time I spend, how much energy I spend trying to defeat Satan on my own. And guess what? It ain't happening. It's not happening. We cannot defeat Satan on our own. And there's something that rises up inside us because we're flesh. And with the flesh comes pride. And our pride rears up and says, you can do better. You can defeat this. You don't got to go whining to God. You don't got to, you know, get all bowed down. And yes, you do. We have to bow down before our Lord and Maker and say, God, you've already won this battle. Give me the victory. I open my arms for it and receive it. So you don't waste, we don't waste all our time and energy fighting the battle that's already been won. Now, that may sound simplistic. You just receive it? That's too easy. No, it's not. Just receive it. In a few minutes, I'll be going through some verses that just bring out what Jesus has done for us. And how all we have to do is receive it. Let him fight the battles. And we concentrate on connecting with the heart of God. And he loves people. And he wants to use us. He wants to flow through us loving people. You know, how does God love? Is it something we can learn? We have the Word of God, which is full of illustrations of God's love. He lovingly created us from dust. And the neat thing is, he still remembers that we're made of dust. Psalms 103 speaks about that. He remembers we're dust. He remembers that we're weak. He understands that, and he helps us with our own sin nature and defeating the enemy. He helps us with that. He remembers our dustiness. He called Abraham, Moses, Noah, and the prophets out from among the peoples. He called David from following the sheep. And we have so many illustrations in Scripture of how God expressed his love to people and how people were then used to express love to people. He blessed people and equipped people. We read about it in Scripture. And guess what? He's still doing it. He's still doing it. There are ongoing revelations of God's love and its deeper meaning. I'd like to give an illustration, very current. This comes from New Tribes Missions. In a particular African language, every verb, every action like love, to walk, to go, to eat, to any action verb, any verb that you're doing something. In this African language, every verb ends in, there's three forms of it. One of them ends in I, one of them ends in A, and one of them ends in U. Almost every, or I'm just going to read some of this. Almost every verb ends in I, A, or U. But in this African language that New Tribes Missions was working with, the word for love was only found with an I and an A, and there was no word for love that ended in U. So the missionaries from New Tribes Missions got all the elders of the tribe, the African tribe, together. And they wanted to know why there were only two forms of the word love and not the three forms that every other verb had. So they said to the elders, could you DVI, DV was the word for love and I was the ending. One form of it, DVI. Could you DVI your wife? Yes, they answered. That form of love would mean that the wife has been loved, but the love was gone. So that form of love was, okay, you were once loved, but now you're not. That was one expression of the word love. Yes, they answered, that would mean the wife has been loved, but the love is gone. Then they used the next verb form. Could you DVA your wife? Oh, yes, they replied. We could DVA our wife. We could love her like that. That kind of love depends on the wife's actions. She would be loved as long as she remained faithful and took good care of her husband. So there's two forms. One is you've been loved, but now you're not. The other form of love is you're loved as long as you do right. You get me water. You cook my meals. You be faithful to me. You do. And you'll be loved. That's DVI love and DVA love. And then the missionaries asked a crucial question. Could you DVU your wife? Could you love your wife DVU? Everyone in the room laughed. Of course not, they replied. If you said that, you would have to keep loving your wife no matter what she did. Even if she never got you water, and she never made you a meal, and even if she committed adultery, we would have to just keep on loving her. No, we would never say DVU. We couldn't do that. No, DVU doesn't exist. And yet, in the language, there was a DVU, but they never used it. They didn't understand it. They thought it was an impossible standard, so they never used the word for love, DVU. They used DVA, you have been loved, but now you're not, or DVA, you're loved if you cook my rice cakes, you do this, you get water from the well 5 miles away, if you do this and this and this, then you'll feel beloved. The missionary sat quietly for a few moments, thinking about John 3:16. And then he asked, could God DVU people? There was complete silence for 3 or 4 minutes. Then tears started to trickle down the weathered faces of the elderly men of the tribe. Finally, they responded. Do you know what that would mean? That would mean that God kept loving us over and over, even while all the time we rejected His great love. He would be compelled to love us, even though we have sinned more than any people. Wow. God loves us with the impossible standard that this African tribe was seeing. He DVUs us, even when we reject Him, even when we're foolish, even when we turn away from Him. The missionary noted that changing one simple vowel changed the meaning from I love you based on what you do and who you are to I love you based on who I am. I love you because of me, not because of you. And we'll see in Scripture that very terminology in a moment. When we experience God's DVU love, I'm saying that it'll change our lives. You know, I wasn't particularly good this week. Tough week. Just got back from vacation. I didn't do everything God wanted me to do. I wasn't particularly good. In fact, I have this little mannerism that I have when I've done something, but when I've done something wrong or something kind of sketchy, I do like this. Oh, by the way, I get that from my mother. Whenever she does something that's a little ornery or something, she goes, and I just picked it up because, you know, we are like our parents. I go, So I wasn't particularly good this week. I had some attitudes. Some words I shouldn't have said it, particularly at work. I wasn't particularly good. But God decided to DVU me anyhow. He decided to love me just like I am. He decided that even though you haven't been particularly good and particularly nice and you've been kind of a brat, even despite that, I'm going to help you with your sermon. I'm going to love you through it. I'm going to love you through whatever else the day brings. I'm going to love you despite, and I'm going to give you grace and mercy. And because I'm going to do that for you, you're going to be more powerful in reaching people that I love. That's DVU love in action. And it feels so good to receive that kind of love from God. It feels so good. Let's look at some scripture. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. You know. But now he has reconciled you to by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Talk about the ultimate expression of DVU love. Look at the words here. They're powerful and effective. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Look at this other part. It's amazing. He presents us before the Father without blemish and free from accusation. You know, I could stand up here this morning and with my week, I could list everything. I could accuse myself of a whole list of stuff. I could list all my blemishes and all my accusations that would be against me. But if Jesus made me right with God through his death on the cross, that whole list I just created in my mind, it means nothing without blemish and free from accusation. When we experience that kind of love, where our entire history, all the accusations and all the blemishes and all the weaknesses and all the stupid failures that we've done in our lives, the things that we just, oh man, we'd love to hit the reset button on our life. But as we recognize that we're free from all that, you know what? Then we can love people. We can love people just like he loves us. We can DVU people despite who they are, despite their failures, despite their habits, despite whatever wickedness may be in them or the type of personality they are. We can love them. And by the way, The history of the church has shown again and again and again that people aren't, primarily people aren't taught into the kingdom. They're loved into it. And when they're loved into it, then the teaching can start. You know, you can be oh so theologically correct, and you can have all the P's and Q's, everything lined up as far as what the Bible says and what he says about sin and what he says about people. And you can have all that lined up. If you don't have DVU love for people, they're going to miss the whole thing. And we won't even have opportunity to teach them. See these prayer cards up here? There's a bunch of them up here. And those prayer cards over the last number of months have included a couple down the road. They've got all kinds of habits. They've got all kinds of issues. They got all kinds of stuff in their life. We've been praying for them as a church through the prayer cards and through a working of God. Teresa and I got a chance to meet them. And we're currently having opportunity to spend time with them, to talk to them. They love the text. The guy particularly, I have all kinds of text conversations with him. A relationship of trust is starting to build. A lot of distrust of people in their lives. A lot of abandonment. A lot of people who have treated them wrongly or whatever it may be. A lot of pain. I'm texting with the fellow, building a relationship, building trust. And I say that it's all enabled by the prayers of God's people. I don't think without the prayers of his people that anything would have happened. But there's now hope. There's a glimmer of hope. And hope is starting to sparkle a little bit. And we'll see where that leads. But let's keep praying. Let's take these prayer cards very seriously, because that's part of loving people, is praying for them. DUV God's love to them through your prayers. It's all people. Let's look at 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Whew. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Wow. Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Even though I've been somewhat of a rascal this week, even though at times this week I acted much less than my spiritual maturity age should indicate, yet, so great is the Father's love for me that he's lavished on me that I should be called one of his children. Oh, just receive that kind of love. His love is not dependent on our actions. But he just loves us. And that makes us want to serve him more. That makes us want to obey him. It makes us want to read in the Word and see how we're supposed to live. It makes us search and see, what can I do that I become more righteous and live more righteously, that my testimony is not marred by misbehavior? When we receive that kind of DVU love, that I'm his children. He's calling me his son. He's calling you, all of us that know him, his sons and daughters. As we receive that kind of love, then we dig into Scripture. We have an attraction toward the Scriptures. The principles in Scripture that teach us how to live, teach us how to walk each day. And the Word is full of instruction about how we should live so that our testimony is not marred. And don't get me wrong, God loves us even when our testimony gets marred. But we likely won't get as many blessings if we keep marring our testimony. We're his children. 1 John 4, 9-12. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. If we look at the impact of this scripture, it's like God not only DVU loves us, he not only throws all our foolishness and our sins and our weaknesses and our rotten tendencies and whatever it may be, he throws that into the sea of forgetfulness. But not only that, he chooses to speak to the world through us. You know, God could. God is he can be everywhere at all times. He's omnipresent, meaning he can be wherever he wants to be. He could jump down in front of a sinner and show himself, get down on your knees and worship me. He could do that. But it's amazing that he wants to love us to the degree that we get it. And as we experience that type of love, then we can go out and we can touch people's lives in ways that we never thought we could. He loved us. Not that we loved him, but he loved us. And since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete through us, made complete in us. So when we experience the completeness of his love, it's like we can't contain it all. There's no way. I'd like for everybody for just give a couple seconds. Just think about the things that you've done in your life. If you start thinking about that, the human mind is such it can go boop, 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 boop. All kinds of stuff that we've done. Stuff that we'd like to hit the reset button big time. But if we just accept God's DVU love, despite everything that we've done, despite our behaviors, despite it all, he loves us, and just receive that. And as you receive it, let it overflow. You can't contain all that. There's no way. You have to love people. Oh, Betty, I'm so glad you're here this morning. God bless you. Just love people. That's how the gospel is going to be spread. That's how it's going to be caught and taught effectively. It's a gospel of love. As Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to love. Let's learn to define our lives as God does. Because as he loves us and we recognize how much we need him, it's like what God sees as we receive the forgiveness and we receive the grace, we receive the mercy, we receive his DVU love, that's whatever you do, do I still love you? Then God is picturing an empty vessel that he can fill and that he can use to love people. He really wants to use us to love people. He could jump down and do it himself, but he's chosen to use us. And perhaps that's because as we receive God's love and we recognize and can testify what God has done for us, it has such a powerful impact on people. Define our lives as God does. You are a forgiven sinner. I have loved you with my son's sacrificial blood. You are covered. And I see you as holy and unblemished. But what about them, the people out there that don't know you? What about them? That's where he wants to use us. As we receive that kind of love, that's where he wants to use us. And that's how we love people. I'd like to look at 2 Peter 3:9. I don't know if I wrote that one down, but I would like to look at that verse. Peter's talking about the end of the age, and he's talking about things to come, and the Lord's coming, and he was just noting that, since the beginning of time, people have been saying, "Where's his coming? Where's his coming?" And Peter just wrote this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." If you'd split God's big old heart open, that's what you find in there. Not wanting anyone to perish and go to hell, spend eternity with Satan and his angels. That's not what he wants. He wants everyone to come to repentance. That's his heartthrob. It's in there real deep. That's what's pumping in through God's veins. Love for people. Longing for them to come and have fellowship with him. And he wants to use us to flesh out what's in his heart. He wants in our veins to be pumping the same thing that's pumping in his veins. Love for people. Love for people. It should just be circulating. Like a big old dose of cayenne pepper, which opens your circulation up. The worship team can come. And what I'd like to put an emphasis on this morning, if you've got something to talk to God about personally, come up. The altar's going to be open. Come up and just talk to God. If there's something personal going on that you want to talk to God about, or that you want to talk to someone up here, pastors will be up here. There'll be other people who pray with you. But I'd also like to put some emphasis on this. We've been doing these prayer cards long enough that I know that they're having an effect. These situations, as we pray, as we receive God's DVU love, as we receive it and recognize it's not in me, it's just because He loves me and forgives me despite me. As we receive that, then we're given power to love people. And part of loving people is praying for them. In fact, I would say that's where it starts. As we pray for people and God puts a burden in our hearts, when we pray for someone, there's a special burden in our heart that comes with that. Because God kind of communicates with us in prayer and we get His thoughts toward those people as we pray. So I'd encourage people to come up during the prayer time and pray for some of these requests and just cry out to God, recognizing that even though you're not perfect, that doesn't matter. God loves you. He wants you to improve, of course. He wants us to grow. He wants us to read Scripture and learn how to live righteously so our testimony is not marred. But His love is a constant, and He wants to use us in prayer, and He wants to use us in loving people.